Rejoice and be glad in it. That is fantastic. I just love that as a reminder every day that this is the day that the Lord has made. Yesterday was, today is, tomorrow should it come is also. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Let's open our Bible to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. If you are not attending Wednesday night Bible study, I would encourage you to do so. We're starting in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. It's a big pot, and I'm in there just stirring it up the best I can, bringing in controversy and things that are heard from different people and different points of view. I encourage you strongly to attend Wednesday night Bible study where we study the book of Genesis. We're starting in the beginning and we're moving on through. I believe that we have a great need for just some spiritual foundations, some biblical foundations in this church. And that's why we're starting in the beginning. Amen. If you are a male and you are the age of ground zero or above, I encourage you also when we have our men's breakfast to attend. We have a great time of fellowship and good food. We met yesterday and discussed many different things. It's not where you're sitting there having a Bible study necessarily. It can have some biblical aspects of it, but it's just a great time of fellowship. So I also encourage you to attend that if you haven't attended one of those. We had it yesterday, so the next one will be next month. Well, in Genesis chapter 3, there's many places we can start. Don't turn there, but I just want to read in Hebrews. I'm sorry, did I say Genesis? Hebrews, sorry, chapter 3 is where we are today. I'm really excited about Wednesday night Bible study in Genesis. So if I say that, know that today we're in Hebrews. Even if I say Genesis, go to Hebrews, okay? But I may refer to Genesis, but don't go there. So as we go to Hebrews 3, I'm going to read something out of Hebrews 2 real quick. And it says, therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. That goes without saying for anybody in church. We must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. And they're talking about drifting away from God. And he says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. We cannot forget our own salvation, church. We have to remember when we first met Christ and what that meant to us and where we met him. And Anna, I'm just so thankful for the words you read today, the scripture. It doesn't mean that all is fixed. It doesn't mean that no harm comes to us. It doesn't mean we'll never experience hurt. Today we're going to talk about that though in Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 3. I hope I don't struggle with that and say Genesis all day. Verse 7 is where we're going to start today. Verse 7. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. We can stop right there and just do a whole sermon on that. As the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit is still at work in this place, church. If you will hear his voice, many come to church. I'm not talking about this one specifically, but it could apply to some. Many come to church and they put on their spiritual earmuffs. It's just what we do. We attend. We close our eyes, we drift away, we come back, and church is over, and then we go eat. If Donnie will hear his voice today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, they tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I have visited various people in the hospital and in their homes. And when I pray with them, I try to pray that they would receive the rest that only God can grant. I'm not talking about a rest that you get when you sleep 12 and 14 hours. And for some reason, usually you seem more tired then. But I'm not talking about that rest we get with sleep. I'm talking about the rest that we get when we're in the presence of God. And I try and pray that for those that are sick, for those that are just going through things, that they experience the rest that God gives. And this says, they will not enter into my rest. Verse 12 says, beware, brethren. Always pay attention when the Bible says, beware. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Why? Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Beware, brethren. We take it when they say brethren that they mean fellow Christians. These are believers. He says, beware, believers, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Churches have people all the time that come in. They have an evil heart. They have a disbelieving heart. They disassociate and they drift away. How can that happen today? Because it was happening back here. They were doing the same thing. Even new converts, new Christians, Jews coming to the faith in Jesus Christ, and they didn't understand. They said, I don't understand what we do with the old law. Where do we go with this old stuff we've grown up knowing? You tell me Jesus Christ came for my sins and died for my sins. Is that enough? Is that enough just to believe in Jesus Christ? I don't have to follow the old law? And some not understanding or having an evil heart or disbelieving that it's that simple drifted away. It says, but exhort one another daily. We are to encourage one another daily, not discourage one another. I say time and time again, the words we speak to one another are so important. Our young people, wherever they are, our young people, make it a habit to speak words of encouragement. And people make fun of me. Well, if they're in your youth group, if they're in your family, you need to tell them that's not biblical. Because we're to encourage one another. Amen? Okay. Anyone under the age of 20, amen? No, the under 20. Amen? That's mostly you guys back there in that back row. Amen? Okay, I'm hearing it now. We got a couple over here. No, this group's out. Okay, sorry. I had to do a quick survey there. Young people, encourage one another. Encourage one another. While it's today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We discovered, now I mean to say Genesis, we discovered 2 weeks ago when we started in the very beginning, when God created all this, where was the enemy? Good grief, the enemy was right there. We couldn't even get a couple chapters into Genesis before the enemy showed up. And the enemy has been there from the beginning. Man, this apple is beautiful. It's delicious. No, God wants you to know this. Take it. Sin was right there from the beginning and continued on right after that and has been going strong ever since. We don't want to be conditioned and deceived through the deceitfulness of sin. And sin oftentimes is packaged in a very pretty picture. Very easy to understand, and it's covered in flowery words. False teachers can oftentimes be in nice, pretty packages, flowery words. Verse 14 says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom he was angry 40 years. Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, and to whom did not swear that they would not And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of disbelief. So a couple noteworthy things here. The very first thing I read, which was in Hebrews 2, do not neglect your salvation. Man, you can't say, I got the ticket, I can do whatever now. I can ride the free train. Do not neglect your salvation. Do not harden your heart. It's so easy. We prayed this morning, and Lori and Jan came up and prayed with the band this morning. And they prayed that we would not have unforgiveness in our hearts. That we would forgive those that hurt us. We would forgive the things that hurt us. And that we might even remember where we have hurt someone else. Where we may not have even realized it. Do not harden your heart. But it also talks about renewing your belief. It's great to believe. Many of our young people accepted Christ recently. And by that I mean in the last couple years. When you get to be our age, that's the rest of us out here, it's important that you don't forget that. And that you renew that belief that you have found and discovered often. The Bible tells us to renew our mind daily. Amen? We have to renew our mind daily because the enemy's there. Eric spoke, I think it was last week, about the thing with a guy praying, God, it's been good so far. And they said, but I'm about to get out of bed, God. And I'm going to need help. And that can sometimes be where the enemy attacks. As soon as our feet hit the ground. Sometimes before that, while we're still in bed. We have to renew our mind daily to stay strong in our faith. Renew your belief in God's Word. Wednesday night Bible study, that's why I've started in Genesis and going through, so we can renew or even educate those in God's Word and what it says. That's sometimes why I stir that pot a little bit, so we can talk, because this version may sound great. And this version may sound great, but what does the Bible say? How is it translated? How are those words used in certain texts? And it's so important we understand that and grasp that. And then we place our trust in Jesus Christ. As the Jews converted into Christians, like I said, they said, what do we do with the old laws? Law of Moses. All these old things. Do we still follow them? Do we practice them? Place your trust in Christ Jesus. And then obey God's words. And obey Christ. It talks about the disobedience of them. Going back into the verse right above where we started, verse 7. Verse 7 says, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So we move on into chapter 4. And it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. Let's stop there. The promise remains that we can enter into his rest. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. We don't want to fall short of that. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So when we hear it, we obey it and we follow it. James tells us, do not be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Amen? It's not enough to hear it. Oh, I heard that. I know it, but it's okay. No, be a doer of the word. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are to be Christ-like in our actions, in our words, in everything we do. Somebody said, do you witness to people every day? We all witness to people every day, don't we? We may not say, I'm a Christian, where do you stand? And man, can I pray for you? But we witness our faith every day in our actions and our words to one another. Amen. We have to understand we're all ministers. What are we out there ministering? Who are we ministering to? We've had a lot of church directories, I say disappear, taken and used out there. Are we picking up the phone and calling anyone saying, hey, I just want to see how you are today? We witness to people every single day of our lives. Whether we're driving our vehicle, a company vehicle while we're working, or whether we're working, whether we're going to school, whether we're teaching, whether we're just hanging out with our family members, we are witnessing every single day. He said, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. So God's plan for us is to find rest and to have rest, to enter into his rest. He set that up in the beginning. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Uh-oh. Some didn't get in there due to disobedience. Anyone disobey this last week? Well, I guess everyone's arms are tired, but okay. We disobeyed our parents. We disobeyed our spouses, our boss. But we disobeyed God in some manner, I'm sure. We're going to get to that in just a moment. I just think they did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. We get a different rest than those that don't know God. But he calls for our obedience. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Listen to this next part in verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. We don't want to fall under that same example they did. We want the obedience factor to be on our side. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful. The word of God is living and powerful. And when we don't know it, we don't have that life and that power in us. And we need to learn it. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did you hear that? And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Don't think you've got any big secrets. My wife doesn't know, my husband doesn't know, my parents don't know, my children don't know, my church doesn't know. Doesn't matter. He knows. Verse 13 says it all. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Amen? We have to give an account for our actions. And there's some of us that would be very ashamed of the account we had to give. From our thoughts to what's in our heart. But I'm telling you, when you get in God's Word and you read that and you start discovering, what does that mean to me? How can I apply that to my life? Why do I need to change? How can I change? The application process says not just, hey, why do I need to change? Okay, it says here's why you need to change right here. Number one, so we can enter his rest is what this is talking about. That's great. Churches can be so good about saying, man, you need to change. Can you help me out and tell me how to do it? Can you help me out and show me how to do this? And by the way, I may not get the answer right on the first try. Are you going to be a church that gives me 2 and 3 chances to get it right when I screw up? Are you going to show me some mercy and grace like Jesus would? I love that. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No creature is hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. We have to give an account. We know that. Most of us think, I can answer for that then. Right now, I'm just going to have a good time. It just makes that account harder. And that's a very hard thing to understand. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. I mean, he understands it. He gets it. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16 is where we're going to close today. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Church, it is so important that when we have people come to us in a time of need, we understand that. That they can come boldly to the throne of grace. They don't have to come to us for that. But when they do, when they come boldly to the throne of grace, it says they will obtain mercy and find grace to help in their time of need. Will we show that same grace and mercy to those in need? This is a powerful, powerful section talking about the Word of God, understanding that obedience and what it means and to enter into His rest. I've talked heavily about the be with factor as a church body, just to be with people every now and then. Just be there. I want to tell a story real quick in closing if I can. About our youth pastors. Uh-oh, they're scared. Andrew and Chelsea. Ms. Chesney had surgery a couple weeks ago. And I was impressed, but I was so proud of our youth pastors who were down at the hospital there. And they showed up, the be with factor. Attending to the needs of our young people. I told the people Wednesday night in Bible study, we had 5 baptisms a couple weeks ago. And we have a homeschool group that comes to Ground Zero. Many of them are homeschooled. And the Saturday before the baptisms, they had a classmate that died. Classmate drowned. And it was difficult for them to do that and go through that step. It was one of their, one of the young men, Jordan, it was his relative, one of his relatives. And they were really struggling with that. The be with factor. Andrew went to the funeral to be with those kids, to show them support. And when I talk about, did we witness to someone? Yeah, in our actions, and I thank you guys for that. And I'm so proud of our youth pastors for doing that, the be with factor, and the going to do those things. That spoke highly of our church. It spoke highly of our youth group. And it spoke highly of our faith. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. And God, we ask that when we open this up, you just make it come alive to us. God, where we don't understand, we can just be open and honest with others to find the truth of what it means and what it says. That we understand that the Old Testament is still relevant today and ties into the New Testament. That it's all related. God, as the new Jewish believers wondered, is it enough just to trust in Christ? Lord, today, that if there are those here today that wonder, is it enough just to trust in Christ? That you would reveal that answer to them in a powerful yes. Today, Lord, we pray for the renewing of our minds and faith in Christ Jesus. The renewing of our belief in your word. God, it's not just enough to pick and choose parts of the Bible, that we understand it. And when we use it, Lord, we're handling it properly and using it properly. When we speak God's word over others, if we're rebuking one another, that we do those things, Lord, in love, the spirit of love and gentleness, with a pure boldly before the throne. Boldly before the throne. That we may find that grace and obtain mercy and grace to help us in our time of need and where we are. For your word also says that all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God, today, if we need to change our account, alter our account, improve our account to tell a better story of us and therefore witness better what God is doing in our lives, Lord, that you would lead us to that. God, I'm just simply going to ask that you reveal to those that need to change account that you do that right now. We won't have a showing of hands. We won't have them come forward, Lord. For they know who they are. God, reveal those things. For they're revealed to you. Nothing is kept secret from you. Lord, as we go out this week, allow us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Our actions, our words, Lord, they speak loudly. They speak volumes, Lord. Let them reflect your love and your spirit. Lord, let our actions and words speak the place you have in our hearts and in our lives. And where we need to improve and grow that, Lord, help us in those areas as well. We ask those things in Jesus' name.